Father, bless these words to our hearts in Jesus' name. In Isaiah chapter 1 and verse 11, the Word of God says, "To what purpose is the multitude of your sacrifices unto me, saith the Lord?" Wasn't that a curious thing for God to say? "For what purpose is the multitude of your sacrifices unto me, says the Lord?" Well, He gave those sacrifices. He gave those religious laws. And He's saying, "Why are you doing this? What purpose is there in this? I am full of the burnt offerings of rams and the fat of fed beasts. I delight not in the blood of bullocks or of lambs or he-goats." This is a strange thing for God to say. What purpose is it? I'm full of it. I'm full of these things. I've had enough. That's what He's saying. I've had enough of them. I've had enough of the sacrifices. I've had enough of the blood of bulls and lambs and goats. God doesn't delight in slaughtering animals for the sake of slaughtering animals. I've had enough. I'm filled with it. So why is He saying this when He gave those? And the reason is really pretty simple. And this is something in our own lives as believers that we have to be aware of. That it is possible for me to operate as a believer, function in responses as a believer, but lose the purpose, lose the design. If I lose the design of things from my frame of reference, then essentially I will lose those things. Let me explain what I mean. The design of the blood of the bulls and the goats and the design for those sacrifices to be made was to teach Israel about the Savior, about the atonement, about the blood of Christ, about restoration and reconciliation. That was the design. But Israel forsook the design. They kept the traditions, they kept the activities, but they no longer accepted God's design. When that took place, God was no longer delighted in that. As a matter of fact, God was fed up with it. When Israel received the ark from God, God said, "Take it in front of you when you go out to battle." And so for a season with Moses, they would take the ark in front of them and they would go out to battle and they would do well. And for a season with Joshua, they would take the ark and they would do well. But then came a time when they simply took the ark and they didn't do well. They went up against Ai and Ai whooped them. What happened there? They stopped accepting the design. The ark had a design. And I'm not talking about the shape and the figure of the ark. I'm talking about the design as in the purpose and the meaning of the ark. What was the ark? The ark was the presence of God. But instead of taking the presence of God with them, they simply took a box. And now they conferred some sort of mystical powers upon this box. And if we have this box in front of us, we'll be just fine. And they started acting presumptuously because of the box. And God did not honor that. God allowed Israel to be defeated in that battle, even though the box was there. The Philistines stole the box. Now, because God's presence was the design of the ark, when the Philistines put it into the temple of Dagon, they didn't accept the design of the ark either. But they did see it, at least, as something that came from a God, even though not their God, and therefore they put it into the temple of their God. But it came from the Israeli God. And in honoring that design of that ark, Dagon kept falling on his face. Their little statue of Dagon kept falling on its face. And it could not stand in the presence of the ark because the Philistines recognized that it was Israel's God's presence. They did not recognize Israel's God as their God, but they did recognize that it was the presence of Israel's God. That's why they put it in that temple. Now, Israel did not always recognize that. Israel didn't know how to deal with that design. When Israel got the ark back, it was initially put on carts. Now, the Philistines didn't know how to handle the presence of God. They simply knew they had to get it away from them. And so they talked to one of their priests and say, how do we get this thing to stop basically killing us and plaguing us? They got emrods and things, and some scientists believe that was actually the bubonic plague. I don't know if that's what it was, but it was brought on by the ark. And they had plagues of mice, things like that, because God's presence was not happy about being dealt with incorrectly. But because they were operating in ignorance, God was much more gentle with the Philistines than He was with the Israelites. When Uzzah violated the design of the ark, when he did not accept the design of the ark, and that's really what happens when we violate the purpose of things, we don't accept their design, the design that God gave them, then Uzzah was killed for it. Yet the Philistines picked it up, put it on a cart, two cows, complete violation of the way that it was supposed to be handled. But they did it in ignorance, and therefore God did not hold them accountable for the ignorance, nor, however, was He pleased, and He let it be known with the way they were dealing with the presence of God. But He was merciful to them in their ignorance. Israel, on the other hand, did have the Word of God. They mishandled the ark, and God was much more severe. Because Israel was to regard the ark as the presence of God, not as a magic box. We have to learn that in all the things in our lives, they are designed. Our lives and the things of our lives are designed. Relationships are designed. Churches are designed. Callings are designed. All the things that are in our lives that God brings have a design. We must accept God's design. So when we accept God's design, we don't look at things according to our interpretations of them. We don't look at things according to our concepts of them. We look at things according to God's design of those things. When we get away from God's design of the things in our lives, that's when we start to get in trouble. But so long as we remain faithful to the design that God has given them, view things according to their design, accept that design, live in that design, we're fine. And the blessing that God had intended in the things that He gives us can be manifested when we accept their design. Today, accepting design is not a popular thing. Today we have it that you have things like situational ethics, where ethics are according to my preferences in the situation, according to what I feel is right in the situation. We have self-defined design. We have acceptance of what they call alternative lifestyles. But Romans chapter 1 says that design is not acceptable. That God had placed a design on our lives, on our relationships, in the case of Romans chapter 1, on the use of our bodies, that God had placed a design on that, and that design has to be accepted. Everything in our lives is designed by God. We need to accept that design. Now, in Genesis chapter 3, Satan challenged God's design. In 2:25 of Genesis, God said that both the man and his wife were naked because God had created them that way, so they were naked and they were not ashamed. That was God's design. God designed men one way, women another way. They were naked together as man and wife. And that was His design. They give it no second thought. Why? Because so long as they operated in God's design, they did not become self-oriented. They did not become self-conscious because of that self-orientation. They simply operated in God's design, and their only thought regarding that was, well, it's God's design. This is what it is. That is a tree, that's my husband, that's my wife, that is a dog, that's a horse. Okay, it's God's design. This tree looks like this, but the flower is like this. The waterfall functions this way. It's God's design. Yet in our lives, frequently we are tempted to reject God's design. There's a design for families, where the father in the family gets close to the Savior. And then he imparts to his wife and his children what he receives from God, not what he receives from his natural thinking. Not what he receives from his natural preferences. He imparts what he receives from God. How do I know this? Because he used to be the head of the wife, and then together with the wife, the head of his family, as Christ is the head of the church. Well, Christ did not speak or judge according to the seeing of the eyes. He didn't go by what he saw. He didn't go by what he heard. He went to the Father, and what he saw of the Father, that's what he did. What he heard from the Father, that's how he judged. He went to the Father to be the head of the church. And only what he received from the Father did he then pass on to the church. Well, likewise, husbands are to be the same way, the head of their wives. Only what they receive from God are they then to impart to their wife and their family. They are not to impart the things that they do not receive from Him. That is simply a matter of natural reasoning, the natural man. But often men don't accept this design. Men will often think, well, I'm the head. And it becomes almost an ego thing for them. Well, I'm the head. Or if it's not an ego thing, then it becomes a responsibility trip to them. Well, I'm the head. This is my responsibility. The man's responsibility was given clearly as Christ loved the church. Go to the Father, receive from Him, and impart to your family what you receive from God. That's the man's responsibility. But in rejecting the design, nowadays in particular, and this happens in very large numbers, I believe, men say, well, that's not how I'm the head. I'm the head. No, the man has a head also. The head of every man is Christ. So he can't forsake the design for his family because he's the head. Because he himself has a head, and that is Christ. So just the same way that Christ went to the Father, the man goes to Christ to receive from Him and gives it to his family. That's God's design. If it's done apart from God's design, it doesn't work. If it's done apart from God's design, you have damaged capacities, you have crushed spirit, You have people who don't know in that family how to relate to God the Father, because the Father in that home does not represent God the Father, but rather His concepts of God the Father. And there's a big difference. We operate always in God's design. Eve and Adam stopped operating in God's design. That was the problem. They stopped accepting it. Satan challenged them, and they no longer accepted it. In 3:7 of Genesis, it said, "The eyes of them both were opened. The eyes of them both were opened, and they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves aprons." That was the result of going to the tree of knowledge of good and evil. Now, the tree of knowledge of good and evil was profoundly problematic. Their eyes were open only after they started walking by sight, because Eve saw it was a tree good for food and to be desired. And so she was already walking by sight. What did it mean that their eyes were open? Their perceptions became open to the things that were not of God. They became open to self-orientation, and at this point, self-consciousness outside of God consciousness. When their eyes were opened, their hearts were closed. When they became self-oriented, they lost God orientation. So they left that design. They rejected God's design. Satan tricked them into rejecting it, but they knew that they were not supposed to eat of that tree of knowledge of good and evil. The Bible said in Job that if I know what is the good thing to do and I don't do it, it's sin. In Job chapter 4, it's sin. So if I know the right and I don't do it, it's sin. Eve said to the enemy that she knew what was right. She said to him, "God said we are not to eat of the tree of knowledge of good and evil." Yes, she did add to it, and that was a mistake. But that's a message for another day. She did know that she was not supposed to eat of the tree of knowledge of good and evil. She ate of it anyway. Personal sin entered as a result of self-orientation. Self-orientation led her to evaluating by sight, to deny what she was given by God, to reject that design and accept Satan's design. We need to not do that in our lives, because it's very easy for us to do the same thing. We look at circumstances with our natural understanding, and our thinking changes from God's thoughts. We stop accepting God's design for those circumstances in our lives, and we receive accusations from the atmosphere against not a person, but the circumstance. How does that work? Jesus said, "Let's go to Lazarus." Lazarus died. "Let's go to Lazarus." And Thomas brings in an accusation against the circumstance. What are we going to do? Die with him? That was an accusation against the circumstance. Rejecting God's design for that circumstance, for allowing Lazarus to die. Mary did the same thing. "Lord, had you been here, my brother would not have died." And she was being sarcastic when she said that. If you actually cared about him, he wouldn't have died. That's what she was saying. If he actually cared about him, he wouldn't have died. She did not accept God's design for what took place. She rejected it, and therefore, she operated in sight against that design. What caused her to reject God's design? Her emotions. Eve's emotions caused her to reject God's design also. Satan will project at times to our emotions so that we will reject God's design because of our emotional responses. Instead of accepting God's design in God orientation, we enter through self-orientation into our emotions and we reject the design of God for whatever it is. We have to be very careful about that. That's called iniquity. That's what iniquity is. Emotional rebellion against God is not always a hot emotional reaction against God. Emotional rebellion against God is when I reject God's design on the basis of my emotions. When I reject God's will on the basis of my emotions. When I reject God's plan on the basis of my emotions. And that is iniquity. So we don't operate in iniquity, we accept God's design. Sometimes it may even seem harmless. Sometimes a person may think they're somehow protecting themselves in this. But they're in fact not. Because by rejecting God's design, we reject the way that God formed things. Whatever it is that we reject the design about, we reject the way that God formed it. We reject His purpose for it. We can't do that. We always accept God's design. We know, for example, that all things work together for good and all things are for our sakes. If I accept that God's design in all things is to work together for good and to be for my sake, then I will not react at all things. Because I'm accepting God's design in all things. If I understand that in the warfare, that it's not people, that we don't fight against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers, and if I start to attack a person, then I've rejected God's design. Because God's design is not that the person is the source of the warfare. God even designed the warfare, if you will. Because God's the one who knew it would all happen. God's the one who shed His blood. God's the one who gave the provisions. And God's the one who permitted it to happen. And why did He permit that to happen? Let's say somebody does something against me. Why did God permit it to happen? Because all things work together for good and they are for my sake. In other words, the result is going to be better than at the beginning. The end of the thing is always better than its beginning. And so somehow, and I don't understand how necessarily, because God's ways are so much higher than my ways and His thoughts are so much higher than my thoughts, somehow what God had permitted will turn into something that is better than at the beginning. And so I accept God's design. I don't attack people. I don't accuse people. I don't go against people just because maybe they are my accusers or attackers or what have you. I recognize that I don't fight against people. That it's principalities and powers perhaps taking over people's vocal cords, projecting to people's minds, and then they operate in responses to the projections. So we don't deal with flesh and blood, we deal with principalities and powers, and that's the design. If I recognize that, warfare will be a whole lot easier. Sometimes things are difficult just because we have not accepted God's design. We kick against the pricks, and that is hard for us. In Acts chapter 9. Always accept God's design. Always accept God's design. God's design is there for our benefit. If I accept God's design, I'm going to do a whole lot better, and I'll be a whole lot more content, and I'll be a whole lot happier, and I'll be, frankly, a whole lot more successful. So long as I'm accepting God's design, I'll be a lot less stressed out. So long as I'm accepting God's design. Maybe there's an illness that somebody's dealing with, and the illness produces stress. Illnesses usually do. But when I recognize that the illness is a promotion in eternity, and I accept that design, then the illness is much easier for me to cope with. I'm not saying it's pleasant by any means, but I'm saying in the way that I respond to it in mentally and emotionally becomes much easier because I've accepted the design. We always accept God's design. When we reject God's design, it's always through some form of self-orientation. Self-orientation will lead me to personal sin. Now keep in mind that whatever is not of faith is sin. But self-orientation leads me to personal sin. Personal sin will then lead me to self-consciousness. Now, I'm not necessarily saying going out and sinning in perhaps some obvious, tangible way. That may be the case, but it may be simply I'm operating outside of faith. How do I operate in faith? Through God consciousness and no self-consciousness, that I'm operating in faith. When I operate in faith in that way, I'm operating in God's design. I accept God's design. If I stop operating in faith, it is because I've become self-oriented, and the result of that self-orientation will be self-consciousness. Now, in Genesis 3:10, self-consciousness leads me to separate myself from God. Separation from God is the result of self-consciousness. And so the believer separates themselves from God in self-consciousness, and then later on we find out that that separation from God will then lead me to defense mechanisms. Well, God, it's the woman you gave me. In defense mechanisms, I become an accuser. It's the woman you gave me. Now Satan's design is functioning in fruit. The accusations are now being spread. That's exactly where the enemy intended for all this to go. Now, what did he say? God, it's the woman you gave me. What was the projection that started it all? Had God said? Had God said? The rejection of God's design allowed for Satan to project a thought. Had God said? That thought from the enemy led to sin and separation and accusation both against God and other people. In other words, the thought started to bear fruit. It worked. Now, God brought resolution. He solved the problem. He gave the Savior. But consider something. Eating from the tree of knowledge, which was the result of a lack of accepting God's design, which was the manifestation of the lack of faith, was the personal sin. But personal sin did not need to lead to separation. Now, the Word of God does say, if two are not agreed, they cannot walk together. How shall two walk together unless they are agreed? That kind of separation is one thing. In other words, I'm out of fellowship with God because I'm not living in agreement with Him. But this type of separation is another, where by my own choices, I remove myself not out of weakness, but out of decision. I remove myself from God. That's another type of separation. That's the separation that led to death. Now, in that self-consciousness, God did have to remove them from the garden. That led to physical death. But the spiritual death, the greater death that God was warning about, came by their own decisions. That self-consciousness out of the rejection of God's design. If I reject God's design, it's always out of self-orientation. Self-orientation does not have to be self-centeredness. It's not what I mean when I say self-orientation. I can be God-centered and self-oriented. Abraham did that. He was God-centered and self-oriented. He was centered toward what God said to him, loved God, oriented to self, therefore he thought he had to find a solution to the call of God. Thought it was up to him. So he was God-centered and self-oriented. It doesn't always have to look bad. And that one did lead to sin, but it doesn't always have to lead to sin. I get religious to be pleasing to God. God-centered with self-orientation. A lot of people are God-centered with self-orientation. And not just Christians. That's where all the different types of religions come from. God-centered with self-orientation. We become Christ-oriented and God-centered. Then we're living the way that benefits us before God. But we stay God-centered, God-oriented. When Eve and Adam hid themselves, they needed defense mechanisms, and their defense mechanism became an accusation against God and accusations against other believers. That was the fruit of separation. Any time that I see, or any time that I hear accusations against other believers, that is the result of separation. The separation may look religious, may not look religious, but it is nonetheless the result of separation. Now, the Word of God says that Jesus said, "Go your way, your faith has made you whole." This was to a blind man. He asked Jesus, Jesus said, "Go your way, your faith has made you whole." This is in Mark chapter 10 and verse 52. And immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus. Now, only through faith can we receive sight. Only through faith can we receive sight. Only through pure orientation to God can I start to even scratch the surface of understanding what's really going on. In other words, having accurate perceptions. So only through faith can I have accurate perceptions. Apart from that God orientation, I cannot have accurate perceptions. That is God's design. And so if I accept God's design, I'm going to stay oriented toward God, centered on God, trusting the person of God for all that He said, and my perceptions will become correct. But sometimes we reject the design and we start walking by sight and we become blind to truth. And so in our natural perceptions, we no longer understand anything. And so it's important that we live by faith and not by sight. That's the design in 2 Corinthians 5:7. That's how we are designed, to walk by faith and not by sight. If we operate in that design, we won't have a problem. If we operate in design, we won't have a problem with our hang-ups. We won't have a problem with our insecurities. All the things that are issues in believers' lives, the vast majority of them could be eliminated if they would simply walk by faith, trusting not in the knowledge of the Word, but in the character of Jesus. And if they could trust in Christ's character, then they could live by faith. Because apart from trusting His character, my knowledge of the Word and whatever faith I may put into the knowledge of the Word is not something that can sustain me. But in trusting Him, the person of God, I can be sustained. So, the design, again, has to be honored in order for me to live in faith. I have to live in faith in order to understand things correctly, to have the right perceptions of things. And with the right perceptions, I can have the right experiences. If I reject God's design, it won't work. If I reject God's design for relationships, relationships won't work. If I reject God for marriage, marriage won't work. If you reject God's design for your physical relationships and the context that God gave as part of that design, your physical relationships won't work. You'll have a physical relationship void of what God had made it to be, and it will become a curse in your life. And in many cases, it'll destroy the relationship that you were meant to have in the right context because you've destroyed it in the wrong context. You've destroyed your perceptions, your ability to cope with them. And that shows up in numerous different ways. You always accept God's design, and you honor that design. In Matthew 26:39, Jesus prayed, "Father, if it is possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as your will." Jesus was not pretending to enjoy the trial in Gethsemane. That attack was brutal. But he recognized that God had a design. And to paraphrase, he's saying, "God, according to your design, not my concepts. According to your design and not my concepts." In Hebrews 5:8, though he were a son, yet he learned obedience through the things that he suffered. Christ himself had to operate in God's design. Christ himself could not separate himself from God's design and still be Christ. If he learned obedience through the things he suffered, what is that really telling me? That he didn't sin because of the things that he suffered. Faith obedience is how I keep from sin. And so, he operated in God's design because he accepted God's design. When I accept God's design, everything in my life becomes a whole lot simpler. A whole lot more pleasant. How many people, and I think this is probably one of the biggest ones, how many people out there have a physical ailment or a physical condition or something wrong with their body and they are suffering? Now, some of those people will accept God's design and some of them will reject it. Some of them will grow in that suffering and some of them will grow bitter. One of them accepts God's design and one of them rejects it. If I accept God's design in the trial of my faith, which suffering most certainly is a trial of the faith, then it is because I recognize 1 Peter 1:7 that the trial of my faith is much more precious than gold which perishes. The trial of my faith is precious. And it's more precious than what the world considers to be the most precious. If I operate in God's design in my suffering, my meditation won't be, God, why are you allowing me to suffer? Because that's really a question of God. What is your design? But the Bible tells us God's design. The meditation will be in 2 Timothy 2:12. If we suffer with Christ, we will reign with Him. Simple as that. By the way, that word suffer is hupomeno in the original language. It means to stay under something. If you stay under something, you endure things with Christ, you reign with Him. Simple overcoming. Simple sticking it out. And you reign with Him. Enduring the illness. Enduring the trial. Enduring the attacks. Enduring whatever it happens to be. And you reign with Him. But enduring sometimes is difficult. And so you focus on the design of what came, not on the difficulty of the situation. And if I recognize that if I'm suffering, it is only for the sake of promoting me unto reigning with Christ, unless of course I have unrepented of known sin in my life that I refuse and refuse and refuse and refuse to get rid of, and then God may bring in some suffering in a discipline process. But barring that, which I think the majority of the time that is not the case, barring that, the person's being promoted to reign with Christ forever. Now, the fullness of that has not been explained to us by God, but I'll tell you one thing, if He said it, you better believe it's going to be a good one. It's something that is to be desired. And so, we always accept God's design. We accept God's design for our lives, we accept God's design for our relationships, we accept God's design for other people, we accept God's design for circumstances, we accept God's design. And in accepting God's design, we are rejecting the enemy's projections and accusations against God and ourselves. In other words, we're protecting our own hearts. We're guarding our hearts. Because we've accepted the design. Always accept God's design. Never accept anything else. Never accept anything different. Always accept what God has designed and the way that He has designed it. Amen?